You have tuned in to Counting the Days with Tyler Stanley. This podcast is for survivors of brain injury and those who love us. There's no cure, but there's a life with your name on it. Join me in healing our painful brains on a journey to recovering your intended self by the process of reframing who you are. Happy Mother's Day to moms today. This podcast is dedicated to my mother, Rita Stanley, because when she was told to institutionalize me, she didn't. She was there years later when I walked the law school graduating stage, bought my first property. When I went to work for the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, she watched her daughter negotiate complex legal issues in San Francisco's Superior Court, where I developed the San Francisco Community Court Program to deter crime in targeted neighborhoods. This daughter, who she was told years before by so many knowledgeable medical professionals, would not go beyond putting bathroom fixtures into a plastic bag in those days of assembly line occupations. She said, "No, not my daughter, not my daughter." She fought them for me. In the beginning, I broke windows to communicate. Later, I would become articulate in court. She didn't judge me. When I overdosed on drugs, she didn't walk away, leaving me in the street, denouncing she knew me. Matter of fact, she was proud for every step I made toward my independence. She never once hated the job of being my advocate and best friend. She was all this and more while working a lousy day job. Younger, my mother was an opera singer and model before becoming a naval officer's wife and then my caregiver. She gave up for me going back to her singing career. She gave up publishing her children's books, remarrying, or anything that was about her life to see me through to mine. She didn't work. She did work full-time and was involved in the church. She, after retiring from Pepperdine, worked in a preschool. At age 58, she was in college on the honor roll. I say to mom caregivers worldwide, know that your advocacy is critical to our rehabilitation and eventual survival. It's not a job you willingly apply for, we know, but one that busts over the horizon suddenly from nowhere, awakening untold depths of trauma, pain, and grief that seems to have no end but to get darker. A job you are forced to take, and some like my mother with no other support. This day is for moms who stick. My mother saved many of the drawings in the first half of my book, Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain. And most of those poems in the first chapter I didn't recall writing, but she saved them in a box. By her loving support and faithful commitment, I have a purpose, or as I like to refer to it as attaining my intended self, living somewhere between the life lived and the one unlived. I am still tossing rings into the air, hoping to catch my unlived self, to be a full-time author and life coach for survivors like me every day and not give up. So for me, that was really important in the fact that my mother never gave up on me. Never a day, never an hour, never ever, because I didn't live up to some expectation that she had. She never put an expectation on how fast I should recover. Should I be reading or writing at this point? Should I be in school? Should I be somewhere other than wherever I was in the point of my recovery? My mother didn't put her expectations for my life that she would feel would be the better life for me to live, like get married, have kids, all those kinds of things. She never, as a parent, put her ideal for me on me and made me have to toe the line for her desires and her wishes. She always was there to allow me to develop as a person and whoever I was going to be. And another topic for another time will be the remanufacturing, the reframing oneself, and how one might pick up some of the aspects before the accident, who they were, if they have someone that can feed them some information about what they were like before the accident. I was fortunate again to have my mother, who for my long-term memory loss was able to share with me before her passing away many things about who I was. Was I quiet in high school? Would I like writing? I was registered for college and working at the summer YMCA in Hanford, California at the time, and I seemed to have everything going for me, and I wanted to be a writer or a lawyer. I knew those two things from my mother. Those were not things that I remembered about my past. She was the one that had the box of pictures to show me what I looked like, and I had no ability to form any kind of opinion about who I was. She kept writing that I had done in elementary school. I have a little book of poems that I wrote and back in elementary school, and I tied up the little pieces of paper with string, three-hole punch and string. And she saved all these things. And whether she consciously, I don't think she consciously ever thought, oh, gee, I'm going to save these things for Tyler. When she recovers, she's going to want to have these things. My mother just held on to them because that's what a mom does. That's exactly what she did. She just was a wonderful mother, and she just was there with saving those mementos of my childhood. Apparently, I was a champion swimmer, I was a bit on the quiet side. I climbed a lot of trees, and I never had to be told to come in at 2 o'clock for my nap. I was coming through the door focused on getting to my bed, and I would take my nap. I love my naps, and then I'd sleep for an hour, and she said I was up and gone out the door again to go climb another tree or to go fish or do something that was along the river, sun tanning, sunbathing. I love to do those things. Those things aren't part of what I remember at all. I don't have that kind of memory. I'm lucky that I have short-term memory, and sometimes that's a little iffy. But as a survivor of brain injury, your recovery is really dependent on those around you, and there's just no way to dispute that. The people that are the survivors that don't have family support and are in a hospital setting, the day treatment program, full-time convalescence, it's criminal. I think it's criminal to put, and many times survivors end up in a convalescent setting because there's nowhere else for them to go. Maybe there's rage issues. Maybe there's medication issues that need to be monitored. Maybe there's all of the above. There's depression. There's suicide attempts. All of these factors. And they're serious factors. They're many times the results of brain damage is the rage, and depression certainly is a big factor. I experienced the rage. I experienced the depression, wanting to commit suicide. I was locked up, and my mother was there at every corner. Physically, did it hurt her? Did it cause her to have poor health? I didn't see it. She was healthy. She died at a stroke. She was very healthy up until that point. Some dementia, a little bit of mild dementia or moderate dementia, however. But she was healthy. I think that our relationship that was built out of that time of advocacy was really healthy and special. We were partners. We were friends. We were mom and daughter. And when I recovered, again, what I said at the beginning, there's no cure. I still fight aspects of my TBI. I can't get rid of it. It's with me for life. And I have to own that, as we all have to own that as survivors. But my mother, as a partnership in my development, just stuck with me, absolutely stuck with me. We were a partnership in the fact that I also gave back. I gave back. I was there for her at every juncture of her hospitalization, her dementia, her stroke, her hip surgery, home repair. I was there. So it was an exchange of our relationship. That's for another radio program, that's for another podcast, that's for another time. If you enjoyed this podcast, stay tuned for my weekly broadcast on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and 12 noon Eastern Time. We go live July 4th, 2010. Until then, you go on living too, and feel free to visit me at my website, tylerstanley.com.